A weak solidarity, Bricky team listener, when a comment we made last week was even more pronounced this week. There's always a fly in paradise. It's not that caring employers are hard to please, always need more and more corporate welfare to make a killing, because they are committed to smaller government to keep government out of the way. And this week they were pleased with the government's new, quote, jobs plan, which mostly is the government paying the bill for the training of workers the caring business class needs. And yes, caring employers were quite pleased with that, but there's always a fly. But this positive initiative will be, quote, ruined by the caring business class industrial laws. The government is planning like same job, same pay, casuals who aren't casuals not being treated as casuals. Worse, wage theft a jailable offence. We can understand the poor caring employers' concerns. As the True Blue Aussie Chamber of Profits exploded, any positives from the government's white paper will be overwhelmed by the damage from this backward-looking industrial relations changes. And caring business class Shadow Minister Angus Tailings and economists from all the right-wing think tanks agreed, proving the government's got this very, very wrong. As Angus accused, union-friendly workplace changes. And all responsible practitioners of the greatest little economic order of them all know progress can only be achieved by being union-unfriendly. That's the balance, the sensible centre they all crave. And another fly-in, a tax bill aimed at getting some tax out of multinationals was also attacked by the caring business class as having unforeseen consequences, presumably like they might have to pay some. They weren't consulted, they complained, and quite properly too. We know that when the government wants to change laws for, say, armed robbery, it always consults the Armed Robbers and Murderers Union. But exciting news. 2 weeks after filthy rich developer Tim Gernemake more and more expressed his admiration for working people, in part by making lots of them not working people dole bludgers, he has snapped up a half hectare St Kilda Road site, quote, which he will transform into $800 million of luxury apartments and high-end retail in two towers. Tim told us he has had his eye on this site for more than a decade as he, quote, cut his teeth with another developer at a site directly opposite in 2008. So it is humbling to come full circle, he boasted humbly. And, well, when we think of Tim, humility is the first word that springs to mind. In his thoughtful comments on the need for much, much higher unemployment, lower wages, higher productivity, workers knowing their place in the greater scheme of things, Tim also said he was sitting on 14 of the 30 development sites he owns across True Blue Aussie, and now says he will sit on this site until the time is ripe to make an appropriate killing. And I hear you've got a bit of advice for government to solve the housing crisis, Tim. Certainly, they must open up more land for development. Have to be critical of those thousands of Brisbane and Collingwood members complaining about not getting a ticket for this afternoon, especially those magpies who paid extra priority one, guaranteeing them a grand final ticket, who selfishly thought paying a premium to guarantee a grand final ticket meant they would be guaranteed a grand final ticket. The ever-efficient ticketing monopoly told them, among other reasons why they couldn't get a ticket, they didn't have enough in their accounts, which many wouldn't have if tickets were $1 million, but they're not quite that high just yet. Small mistake. Although we hope they have all been charged a booking fee for the tickets they couldn't get, wasting the ticket monopoly's time, but their cruel selfishness was exposed by their attitude to those to whom $1 million is pocket money, who were gifted the tickets, free tickets they could afford, with an afternoon of free gourmet food and fine wines and spirits thrown in. And those supporters who, follow their team week after week would deprive the filthy rich corporates of that opportunity, a chance to relax from an exhausting week of becoming filthy richer with a bit of networking around the room thrown in. They've seen their team week after week. Surely they can miss one game in the interest of the filthy rich. And we can be sure all the AFL Con mission will provide those filthy rich with helpers to answer their questions like, who's playing? Which team is which? What's a free kick? What was that free for? They have to put it through those big things, do they, and other indications of their love of the game, presuming they watch any of it. So what are all those supporters who'll miss their first game of the year complaining about? That they've seen all the others. For years, the ubiquitous Eddie McGuire, you poor, presided over Collingwood, and good to see Eddie showing his working-class Brodie roots this week at some function for the filthy rich, great minds and social wannabes like Eddie, who, like Tim Gurner, make more and more know what's good for this society. Eddie announcing that state big supremo, the pejorative Dan, had resigned, and the whole room cheering and clapping. Bring on a caring business class government. Now, we have our criticisms of the pejorative Dan, but we have nothing on the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin, which in page after page after page couldn't think of even one positive thing to say. A double spread of headlines over the years proving what a threat, what a disaster he had been. And after a decade of front page day after day attacking the pejorative Dan, there was no shortage of ammunition. And brickbats to those cruel critics envious of Lord Rupert's deep insights, who pointed out that after a decade or so of daily denunciations, the socialists won every election with an increased majority and the pejorative had resigned on his own terms. Hope this doesn't indicate Lord Rupert's influence has waned to the point of having no influence whatever. Good grief. People might start ignoring Lord Rupert and his usual lackey's objective reports and opinions and start believing that just maybe there is climate change, for instance. So far, the Wapping Sin has only had 3 days of telling us how irresponsible is the new big supremo. Oh, but of course, that is one a day. Her record has been a fondness for those huge projects governments love to announce, with huge cost overruns, which could go to less sexy projects that would make life so much better. Oh, but of course, public housing, say, is not a government responsibility, else we wouldn't have an announcement of trillions on the housing crisis, guaranteeing there will not be one public asset. Indeed, the remnants of public accommodation not yet privatised will be privatised, showing the government knows the solution to soaring and impossible costs of a roof over people's heads lies in the market, the private sector. What are the odds for Jacinta reversing that? She has announced she will not abandon the money-guzzling rail loop project, obviously aware that all that money on less sexy projects could provide immediate, fast improvements to the public transport system, as if it needs any improvements, of course. The housing package includes a brilliant panacea called the land lease system. Interesting, because when the private sector leases land, the lessee pays the owner the rent. But under this brainwave, the owner, the state, leases the land to the private sector and then pays the private sector the rent. And we wonder why the state's in deep debt. Subscribers to Lord Rupert's contribution to serious debate and divergent thought, Facts Distorted, will enjoy an even more balanced coverage now that Lord Rupert has appointed former big supremo Tiny A Bit More for the Bosses to the board. My word, that'll do wonders for its objectivity, as Tiny was seen this week sharing a big laugh with Voice No campaigner Warren Mundying the Waters at the National Press Club. And it would have been a side-splitting joke, because they're both very funny men. Warren iterated his no co-conspirator Jacinta's assertion that colonisation has been just the best thing for Terra Nullius non-land, non-people. Many true blue Aussies are supporting the Voice because of misplaced guilt about Indigenous history, he told us. told us a yes vote would take away traditional rights. The Tuanaluyas non-land, non-people will lose their traditional rights to having no traditional rights, he explained. Meanwhile, Institute of Public Very Private Affairs brilliant mind John Roscoe Commey told us Jacinta is a potential big supremo, which, given they've thrown up Constable Peter Duffer, is an exciting possibility. Jacinta or Pete, the pen shakes over the ballot paper. On such cosmic choices, headline in the True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review, nuclear trumps coal in the energy stakes. Now, with due respect to the Capitalist Review's daily push for nuclear energy, just not sure that nuclear and coal are the only choices. A little bit of digging, or perhaps less, depending how we look at it, and they might discover there are choices which don't destroy the planet one way or the other. Although must concede we must be wrong, because great socialist environment minister Tania Plibber seek their profits in approving the expansion of two beautiful don't be afraid of it coal mines, said she was not satisfied it was likely to result in a net increase to greenhouse gas emissions or affect the extent to which the value of World Heritage properties will be impacted by the physical effects of climate change. Goodness me, did she say climate change? And could Tania explain which bit of more and more coal is not likely to result in a net increase to greenhouse gas emissions? Well, she must know, because the government's committed to reducing that which it's increasing. On those wise people, I don't think anyone's missed the irony of Hayseed and Sheepshit Party former Sports Rorts Minister Bridget McKenzie leading the baying pack in investigating alleged rorts at the airline which used to be our airline, and just possibly the reason for her righteous baying by the socialist government. Finally, for a last word on the grand final, we've asked our expert commentator, Michelle, for her prediction. Very interesting, Kevin. Both teams want the game to be played only on the right wing, making for a crowded game. And the socialist captain, Mr. Albin Uzi, wants the goalpost to have a yes sign across the top, and the caring business class team captain, Constable Duffer, wants a no sign. Very interesting, Kevin. And Michelle, a sensation. I hear there's going to be a moat around the oval. Very interesting, Kevin. Just around the right wing, because no one will go anywhere near the left wing. It's an initiative of Mr. Maul's the bad guys, who will fill the moat with nuclear-powered submarines to protect the players from a threat somewhere in Asia, although he says he has no country in mind. Sensational. What are your final thoughts, Michelle? Very interesting, Kevin. Thank you, Michelle, for your deep insights. Well, that's it, listener. Good morning.